Oh, if you could have a seat. As we're continuing this discipleship series, as we're talking about discipleship, as we're talking about multiplication, does anybody ever feel like this? Right? It's one more thing I've got to do. Anybody outside of church ever feel like this? Like this is just your life? You've got so much on your plate, you don't know what to do. This morning, it happened. This series started a few weeks ago? It started on October 9th. I gave you all a seed. And it says that within, on the back of the seed package, it says that within 90 days, the cantaloupe will bloom. Within, there's this time where it's going to multiply. And that multiplication sometimes feels overwhelming, like when Diana walks up to me this morning and she just hands me this and goes, okay, what's next? Anybody ever feel that way in your life? You're like, I planted this thing and it grew and now it's collapsing under its own power. For those of you that felt overwhelmed, for those of you that felt tired, for those of you that I was speaking at a youth event once, and I made up a story. I said, some of you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you shower, you go to school, you're there by 7 for that before school activity from 8 to 2 till 3. You're in class after class after class after class. And then after school, you have your sports practice until about 6 o'clock. And then after 6 o'clock, you come to church for youth group. And then at about 9 o'clock, you go home and you do your homework until midnight. Or 1, and then you collapse, and at 6, the alarm goes off again, and you wash, rinse, repeat. And as I told that story, these junior high and high school kids just started to weep because they were so overwhelmed. And there's a different way to live. There's a different way to do discipleship. What Jesus said is he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, I've read that scripture about 8 million times, and yet somehow often it feels heavy. So rather than me preaching, I figured I'd leave it up to the experts. Sometimes when we hear it in song, it sticks with us in a different way, and you guys can just take it away.
There are days when my soul pleading for a break. It seems that all I ever do is give to those who take. Before I realize it's happened, I'm hollow and unwhole, stumbling to find something to help me gain control. He says, come to me, I will give you rest. Lay at my feet, be made whole. When it's peace you see, let go of your stronghold. Find your rest in me, weary soul. When my insides are shaken and my heart feels such doubt,
My shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup overflows. Guys, we're going straight into communion. Sorry, called an audible. They're flexible. Sorry, I should have told you guys this. But that's what we're going to do right now. I want to pause in the midst of that, and rather than preach the sermon first, I want to pause and actually experience it. Jesus was riffing off of that psalm when he gathered the disciples together in that upper room, and on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." The true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you and keep you steadfast in the one true faith from now until life everlasting. Amen. Thanks for rolling with that audible, guys. Oh. Yeah. Will you come back? Okay. As we dig into this, right, that has to be our starting point. If we start with we've got to put one more thing on our plate, a plate that's already got way too much on us, we're going to be that donkey up in the air. Some of us are, actually. Some of us have been going for so hard for so long that we don't realize there's something to dig our feet into. We're suspended by the heavy load that we bear. I wish I had time that we could just talk each individually. Hey, Gladys, what's burdening you, and how do we rearrange? We don't have time for that in this setting, so we've got to create a different setting for that, but I want to talk about it, how we've done it as a church. I mean, this isn't just a promise thing, right? This is an American church thing, and the more I've got to travel to first world countries, we have this problem, and quite simply, what we do is we really put the cart before the horse, right? The purpose of the cart is to carry the stuff that we got to get from point A to point B. Right? There's lots and lots and lots of different carts. You know, there's small carts, there's big carts. Each cart has a form and a function. Each church has a form and a function. And please do not mishear me. When I am saying that this cart is the one that we're choosing as promise, that is not saying that the cart that another church has chosen is wrong or bad or even not as good, right? So often we get into that. We go, hey, here's what we do as a church, and what they do isn't us, so it must be bad or wrong. No, it's just different, and there's different things. It's what's your focus? Our focus at Promise, the charge you all gave me when I got here, is deliberately disciple people into fully devoted followers of Christ. The only way to do that, you got to pick a vehicle. We're going to talk about that just a little bit today. As we're looking at vehicles, for discipleship, all the stuff we've talked about for the last several weeks, first thing it's got to be is it's got to be scalable. That is, discipleship, by definition, is meant to be multiplied. This is, Jesus did it the way he had seen his Father doing it in the order of creation. You plant a seed. I don't know how she did it. She just looked at me and said, I just did it. You plant the seed, you get out of the way. It's not going to be too long until that seed needs to multiply. And how do you give it the scalability? Well, it's quite simple. You make the cart lightweight. Right, the cart has to be sturdy. It needs to carry something, but it needs to be lightweight. If I put too many things on this plant, too much pressure on this plant, actually, at this point, much at all, what's going to happen? It's going to snap. It's got to be, the cart itself has to be lightweight. That's the text for today. John 15, Jesus says, I prune away everything that doesn't bear fruit. How many of us need a little bit more lightweight life? We're doing so much stuff that doesn't bear the fruit we want to see. A friend of mine coached professionally for years, and he forwarded an article this week. I forwarded it on my Facebook about how competitive sports are getting. They're saying sometimes by second and third grade, the kid has to pick their sport. You can't do two sports anymore. You got to focus. You got to do more. You got to be more. You got to drive, drive, drive. And I wish that was something that was isolated to kids, but as I talk to you, most of us don't live lightweight lives. Most of us are so tightly wound and so tightly scheduled that even if God showed up in a burning bush and told us to do it, we'd have to make it wait for about 3 months till our schedule opened up. Are you with me? What's it look like to be more lightweight? The second thing that we got to ask is how do we do things that are low maintenance? That is, how do we do things that don't need to be kept up a lot? Things that once you learn it, you can apply, you can... My dad, we're starting to clean out his garage. And Dad was a specialist. Dad fixed cars. And Dad had a different wrench for every single thing he wanted to fix. Now, if that's your goal, is to restore antique cars, you need 528 wrenches. And then there's me. I need one. I need one adjustable crescent wrench, and I can use it for almost everything. This isn't saying this is right and this is wrong, or this is right and this is wrong. It's going, hey, what choices are you going to make? I choose a crescent wrench. Lightweight, low maintenance. It's the same way with discipleship, isn't it? Discipleship, the cart on the left is lightweight and low maintenance. The cart on the right does the exact, or could do the exact same function. The only difference is it's really, really high maintenance. It needs to be polished and dusted. And I don't know what else you do to clean up carts. It's where the analogy breaks down, kind of like the plant. But you get the difference, don't you? I mean, the one on the right, it's stuck behind glass. Nobody can touch it. You might mess it up. It wouldn't look as pretty. See, discipleship, this one might go online, the sermon. Discipleship is dirty. It's messy. It means diving in and growing with people. And you don't have time to carry 400 tools. How do we build a discipleship culture here at Promise? One that's lightweight and low maintenance. Really, it's starting with the function and then adding the form. What do we want the cart to look like? Well, we want the cart to be a cart that can carry and train a whole bunch of horses. Horses that, when they're big enough, can carry more carts. That's that model of discipleship. That's why we called this, let me put it in a biblical model. Some of you are like, that metaphor didn't make sense. Okay, Jesus used a different one. He talked about people, including the disciples, by the way, as sheep. He constantly talked about the disciples as sheep. And then all of a sudden, he looks at the disciples and he goes, and you guys are the shepherds. Does that confuse anybody else? The goal is that sheep somehow become shepherds. And can I just be honest with you? The difference is everybody is a shepherd from the back and a sheep from the front. Right? To those that you are leading, and each and every one of you, you are leading someone. Maybe it's the kids at school that follow you. Maybe it's the people at work. Maybe it's people you don't even realize are following you, but to them, you are the shepherd. And yes, to the people that you're being discipled by, you're the sheep. We can be both. We got to get comfortable with being both. See, we enter into a problem there, right? When I look in the mirror, I see a sheep. And there's a reason Jesus called us sheep. Sheep are stupid. Sheep don't get it. There's a reason that the good shepherd leads him beside still waters, because if you were led behind quick waters, sheep will still jump in. And their fur, being wool, I guess it would be wool, not fur. Is it fur? Makes them die. Right? Sheep, they eat whatever's in front of them. They eat until they get so fat that they keel over. And so the shepherd has to keep them in a pasture and keep moving the pasture, because they'll eat everything. Man, how many of us, we look in the mirror and we focus on those sheepish parts, the parts where we've blown it. That's why we do confession and absolution every week, because it's so easy to fixate on that instead of fixating on the fact that, yeah, we're sheep, but God has called you to be a shepherd. God has called you to lead somebody somewhere. God has called you to make disciples. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, Pastor, I'm just not qualified to make disciples. I've got this error and this error and this error and this error. And I said, but aren't people attracted to you? Like, aren't there some people that like you? Like, think real hard. Yeah, this person likes me, this person likes me. Maybe they don't like you. I guess that's not probably the best thing I should have said, like when somebody's struggling with esteem issues. But they're like, yeah, I've messed up in this way and this way. Maybe they don't like you. Maybe what they like is Jesus in you. Maybe they don't see all those things that you've said, this is me. Maybe what they see is Jesus. And that's what attracts them to you. I mean, that's the name you were given in your baptism. You were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe that's what's drawing these people to you. And maybe you could just disciple them like Jesus discipled the people that were drawn to him. How do we create that kind of culture here at Promise? A culture where we can own that we're sheep and that we're shepherds. It's quite simple. Simple, not easy. It's quite simple. First thing we got to do is the vehicle we pick has to be low control. Control, but high accountability. There's a difference between the two, isn't there? Control is when I say, here's what you've got to do. I was amazed. I had a pastor upset with me this week. The individual said, I can't believe you're letting your small group do this devotion written by this author. They have this theological point wrong. Why aren't you controlling that? It was a great conversation, but here's what I realized. It's not my job to control what you read. It's not my job to say, this is the church-approved one and this is the non-church-approved one. Actually, I had somebody else come up to me this week and they told me they left a church because a pastor wouldn't let them do the small group Bible study that they wanted to do. High control doesn't work. Not only because we're America, land of the free, home of the brave, go Cubs. Not only because here, if I tried that, I know exactly what you'd do. Within a mile radius, there's 14 other churches. You'd go to one of them. But that's not why I don't do it. I don't do it because that's not what Jesus did. Jesus wasn't high control. Jesus was very low control. But very high accountability. See, accountability is saying when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, hey, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It still blows my mind. They dropped their nets and they followed him. But then he did it. He delivered. By the end of the thing, they're out catching men and discipling men and sending them back out, men and women and children. High accountability. Can we be honest? Our culture's let this flip. Our culture's let this flip that we can be so low accountability. Most of you have 2, 3, 4 friends where you know that when they say they're going to do this thing, you know they're not. And most of the time, it's because we're too busy. I just say I'm going to put one more thing on my plate, and then all those other things eventually fall away. So one of the ways we get to be a high accountability is we learn to say this crazy word, no. Hey, can you help me with this thing? No. I can't. I mean, I could. I mean, can I be honest with you? It's amazing. I've learned, can I just teach you a trick on this? Just say, oh, I've got a thing. It's amazing how people respect that. Or call it a meeting. Call everything a meeting. So I'm amazed the shame that's heaped on me as pastor. It's, hey, pastor, can you be at this thing? And I say, oh, I promised my daughter we'd go get ice cream. Totally received different than, oh, I'm sorry, I have a meeting scheduled at that time. Both are true. Go with the meeting. High accountability. I'm accountable to my daughter to have ice cream at 3:00 on Tuesday. I'm accountable to show up, do what you say you're going to do. And you don't need to be controlling. How do we build that kind of culture? That's what we're going to explore here at Promise. The other thing in the vehicle is high invitation, high challenge. How many of us have fallen into things that we want people to think it's that 4-letter N word? Nice. We're so afraid of somebody saying they're not nice. I would love to, by the way, be known as the church that's not nice. Right? Because the minute you push, anybody ever had a coach? No. Okay, I know you're lying. Or you totally just, I've lost you. Anybody want a nice coach? Anybody imagine a nice personal trainer? You want a nice coach? Hold on, isn't your dad your coach? No, you don't want a nice coach. Why don't you want a nice coach? Because your coach is supposed to push you to be all that you can be. As we're digging into this discipleship culture, as we're digging into where we're going as a church, here's what we got to deal with. How do we create this kind of culture? Well, we create a vehicle, and a vehicle that gives you vocabulary. Tools that you can use, the stuff like last week that we talked about, the circle, that has covenant values and kingdom vision. And here's where we're really looking. Here's why I'm popping it here. I want to ask a question. What would it take right now in your life? In March, we're going to have 40 spots open up in discipleship huddles. A discipleship huddle for the first 4 to 6 months is 1 hour a week. I used to minimize that. I used to say it's only 1 hour a week. But can I be honest, what would it take for you to carve out an hour a week? An hour a week every week. What would you have to say no to? What would you have to do to carve that time? Because what we don't want to do is put one more thing on your table. But here's where we're going is promise. So I want to give you a head start that in March, we're going to have about 40 spots open for these discipleship huddles where you can grow in faith. But I also want to warn you that if you sign up for one, 4 to 6 months later, you're going to need 2 hours a week because you're not just going to be in one, you're going to lead one. And so I tell you now so that in March, and I'm going to remind you every month, so that in March when this hits, it doesn't become this other thing that you have to do. But it becomes the cart that's going to get us from point A to point B as disciples. And here's what I've learned is that it always starts, the work that we do always starts with rest. And so I'd encourage you right now, start carving out some time so that that time's already open. Say no to some things that you'd normally say no to so that time's open. And before it starts, just start in rest. I mean, that's what we do when we stop and we sit down next to our Heavenly Father and we talk to Him and we pray. As the team comes forward, I want to remind you that that's what we've got over there. Sometimes we just need to literally carve out a space. Some of you need a place to come and pray, and we try to keep that place sacred, not only on Sunday morning, but throughout the week, a place that if you just need to sit and pray, write your prayer down, put it on the board, that's what we've got that room for. And so we're going to give you a couple minutes now to just pray on your own, and then Kendra's going to intercede on behalf of us. So I invite you to pray.